You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
All right, you are Locked On Broncos. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, part of Scout Media. And my co-host is Luke Polglaze. He is a semi-pro football coach and an NFL draft analyst. Luke, it's been a long week. It's been a holiday week, and we get to finish it off with a nail biter that goes late into the night. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Well, it is late into the night for you, but it is early into the morning for me here on the East Coast. So
no doubt,
still alive and kicking.
Well, we're gonna try and digest this game. It's a tough one. We're kind of mentally worn out, but. Locked On Broncos, we're here to bring it to you through thick and thin. We're not here to just report the news. You can get that anywhere. You know, we're here to give you a more in-depth analytical look at your favorite team, the Denver Broncos. So be sure to tell your friends about the show. Let's light up the internet with orange and blue. Since Luke and I have joined the Locked On family, you guys have been tremendous. The response has been phenomenal, and we really appreciate it. We are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focusing entirely on the Broncos. And as we said, we're going to be consistent and we're going to be prolific because we know that you need your Broncos fix. And at least 5 days a week, we're going to be here to give it to you. And of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom. But please be sure to subscribe, whether it's Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher. We have a ridiculous amount of Bronco content coming your way. So, Luke, let's talk about this game. You know, the Broncos took the Chiefs all the way down to the wire, losing it at the end of overtime, 30-27. What jumps out to you? First knee-jerk reaction, Luke?
Yeah, well, the first thing that kind of popped out to me was just going back and thinking about the decision that Kubiak made calling for the field goal kicker there towards the end of the overtime period, calling out McManus with a 62-yard kick looming. My initial reaction was I didn't like it that I would have punted, you know, just kind of to play out the clock. But the more I think about it, you know, the more I actually like the way he reacted, which is, you know, to play to win the game, and to play especially in a game here that's a conference game, that's a rivalry game, that a game that has playoff implications on the line. I mean, as of right now, if the season ended today, Denver would be slipping out of the playoffs and Miami would be kind of sliding into that sixth seed. So this is a game with huge season implications, and I don't mind one bit that he played to win the game. I almost just would have liked to have seen him go ahead and go for it on fourth down instead of kicking that field goal, because ultimately by attempting the field goal, once the ball missed, the ball then goes from the spot of where the kick occurred, which is another 7 yards in field position. So I almost would have gone for it on a 4th and 10. You've seen what the deep routes were doing against their corners, and just kind of take a shot and let Simeon play to win the game. And I thought I was incredibly impressed by him, and he honestly turned the corner in front of our eyes in that game.
Well, I want to talk more about Simeon, but I have to agree with you. I'll say this. I wasn't against the call at the end there for Kubiak, to try and win the game. You know, we're so used to more of a conservative approach and playing not to lose. Well, they were staring down the barrel of, possible loss or tie. And again, as you mentioned, conference game, divisional game, very key, very important. And he went for the jugular. And, you know, it's not like he was kicking into the desperate winds of improbability. I mean, it is a long kick, yes, but Brandon McManus has the leg. He kind of shanked it and maybe put a little bit too much leg into it and kind of shanked it wide left. But I liked the call. And I'll have to agree with you on Simeon. I mean, the game got out to a little bit of a frustrating start. We saw multiple O-line miscues. It kind of felt like a here-we-go-again type of deal. But you look at the box score, and the Broncos put up 464 yards of total offense. And Trevor Siemian, I mean, of course, it was a career day for him. His biggest game to date as a starter was week 3 in Cincinnati. He had 312 yards and 4 touchdowns. Tonight, he went 20 of 34, 368 yards, 3 touchdowns, when the Chiefs would bring the pressure, he would make them pay for it over the top. I would agree with you that it was just one of those games where you kind of feel like you see a young quarterback kind of bust out of the shell and turn the corner. Talk a little bit more, Luke, about what you saw from Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, so in the first half, we saw struggles. We saw inconsistency again with his accuracy. But as the game progressed, the coaches made one very notable coaching decision, and that was pulling Tyson Brailo and inserting Donald Stevenson, who Sombrilo was getting whipped off that right edge by Justin Houston.
It was just pathetic.
It was, low effort to zero effort, even just failure to even engage correctly. Typical, day one offensive lineman things. Sombrilo correctly pulled from the game. Donald Stevenson comes in and immediately you notice the difference, the effort, the veteran, just kind of ways that he moves and manipulated Justin Houston. He didn't play a good game, I wouldn't say, by any means against him, but there was effort involved and there was, I think, a better end result than with Sombrilo involved.
Certainly.
And you know what that did is it gave Siemian more time to work. It gave him more, I think it seemed like reassurance more than anything to work. And, he really steadied out the throw to Benny Fowler, which is a whole other topic, probably should have gone down. If he goes down short of the end zone, Denver wins the game under 2 minutes, Kansas City, no timeouts.
True.
But that throw itself was beautiful. So, Siemian, I really want to see him kind of play a complete four quarters instead of a game like this where he put together, really three quarters between the second half and overtime. But, those three quarters, that's what you want to see from an NFL quarterback. You just want to see him do it now. I want to see him do it for a full four in a full game.
And that's something you and I talked to the Locked On Chiefs guys about. And one thing that I've been saying, about Trevor Siemian throughout the season is, I haven't been head over heels over Trevor Siemian, but the one thing I would tip my hat to him on is typically, more often than not, when the game is in the clutch, late in the game, late third, fourth quarter, is typically when he's played his best football. And that's not typically something you see from a young, inexperienced quarterback. But now he's deep into his first season as a starter, being expected to really help carry this offense on a Super Bowl champion defending team. And I think he's doing about as good a job at this stage as you can really expect under the circumstances. Now, if you look at the running attack, going back to what the Broncos were able to do against the Chiefs, they rushed the ball. Let's see here. Let me make sure I get this right. They rushed the ball 38 times, and they were able to put up 124 yards rushing, which, if you look at the average, isn't great, but it was enough to, make a difference in terms of keeping the Chiefs guessing. Devontae Booker had another grinded out game. It wasn't big. He had something like 79 yards on 24 carries, but he also had that great catch on third down. The offensive line early on, I don't think, was doing him a lot of favors. But Luke, talk about what you saw out of the rushing attack tonight.
Yeah, so really kind of you saw a resurgence in the coaching style. And, part of that was Siemian in the passing game. Just to step back real quick, he, throwing at Marcus Peters, who we talked about in the pregame podcasts.
Right.
He allowed just two catches for 19 yards while his counterpart, they put up a graphic on the broadcast late in the fourth quarter that had, passes thrown at Gaines being 6 of 8 for 200 plus and two touchdowns. So, the coaching target that guy. In the run game, they brought in tight ends. We really saw, I think, AJ Derby mature as well tonight. He's really developing very well into a tight end that they can use. They can pull him. They can use him to block. And so they kind of went back to that a lot in the run game. We really saw that the coaches, as I said, kind of over that bye week, got back to basics. A lot more Janovich and just kind of instituting that typical Kubiak offense we've come to expect.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. The Chiefs were able to get that safety and then the return on the free kick, and that really made the difference. You typically don't see the Broncos defense give up leads like that late in the fourth quarter. But they had an 8-point lead on the Chiefs, and Alex Smith drove down and was able to not only convert the touchdown but also the 2-point conversion. And obviously the broadcast talked about how rare it is for what we saw from Tyreek Hill to have a special teams touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown, the trifecta. And we talked a little bit about him in our dual conversation with the Locked On Chiefs guys. But man, this is a weapon, and the Broncos are going to have to figure out a better answer, I think, for him moving forward.
Yeah, he really kind of put it together, very quickly against this team tonight. And, it's one of those performances that makes you just take note and say, okay, you have to get this guy involved in the game plan now more often.
All right, but real quick, let's talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like, you've been there, there's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find the seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket SeatGeek is given, they do a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket that you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you get that $20 rebate on tickets. 4 things. 1, download the SeatGeek app. 2, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. 3, enter promo code LO Broncos. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Broncos today. I want to talk about, Luke, a couple other things. We'll kind of keep it a little bit short tonight and come back with some deeper analysis for the next day for Tuesday's show. But I want to talk about the Broncos pass rush. I want to talk about Von Miller. Of course, it was in a losing effort, but he once again played lights out football. It might have been his best overall game of the season. Talk about what you saw, Luke, from Miller, the pass rush, and kind of overall what Wade Phillips was trying to do to stymie Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah, this was a game plan that they put together, that involved a lot of Von Miller in his kind of multifaceted talent in every possible way you could imagine, from rushing to the passer. We saw him drop into coverage several times, and everywhere he went, he was constantly on the ball, pursuing, making hits, making plays. And that's what you want from your star. I know lots of people really were kind of clamoring, saying, oh, he's not worth, top paid defensive money. But tonight, I really think, in this game, he proved his worth. He fully deserved every dollar that game earned him or made him. And, as a pass rusher, what more can you say? I mean, I was talking about it earlier on Twitter. We right now in the AFC West are just so hashtag blessed to see so many great edge rushers between Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. To the Chiefs, you've got D Ford. Obviously, Justin Houston played as good of a game tonight as Von Miller. Then over to the Raiders, Khalil Mack, and even the Chargers now with their young Joey Bosa. This is a division that is building itself on the edge rusher, and it's hard to say which is really the best if you want to play that game. But Von Miller made a very convincing case in this game.
Yeah, it was frustrating. We talk about keys to a game, and in the piece I put up on milehighhuddle.com, three keys to victory, the very first key was don't let Justin Houston beat you. And the Broncos kind of got off on the wrong foot right out of the gates by starting Tyson Brailo and then really just kind of leaving him on an island. There was a play there early in the first quarter, might have been the first possession on third and short. Houston just crashes down the line to make the stop and untouched. I mean, he wasn't even blocked. And just Justin Houston, it's one of those things where, you know, as talented as he is, it's like Von Miller. They're gonna make their plays. But in this case, you could say that Justin Houston was one of the reasons that the Kansas City Chiefs came out on top. The safety, of course, the sacks, yes, the safety hurt because it also led to that additional 7-point swing on the free kick return. And I don't know, Luke, I mean, as you mentioned, Donald Stevenson seemed to kind of steady the ship when he came into the game. There was a couple of pressures he allowed, but he was able to keep Justin Houston from getting another sack, if I recall, off the top of my head. But it's one of those things where the offensive line as a whole, I didn't really feel like we saw a whole heck of a lot of improvement. I mean, you don't want to tip your cap too far for just saying that, oh, we stopped Justin Houston from continuing to destroy Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were certainly, I think, on both sides, uncalled holding penalties on, you know, offensive line, on the defensive line. With so many great pass rushers, it's really, you expect nothing less to see that occur, that there are just calls that get missed, and that happened really on both sides.
Well, let's kind of talk about, before we get out of here, what this means moving forward. It's, of course, it sets the Broncos back. They're now 7-4. The Kansas City Chiefs move on to 8-3. And then you have the Raiders at the top with only two losses. And as Luke mentioned earlier in the show, if the playoffs started next week, the Broncos would be on the outside looking in. The Dolphins would sneak in. But there's still five more games to go. And if one of the things I would have to take away from this game is, not to keep going back to that Locked On Chiefs conversation, but we talked about in that chat how, you know, no matter what happened, this game was going to come down to the fourth quarter, and it turned out to come even beyond and go beyond that into overtime. But you saw what you expect to see from the Broncos, fighting. Usually they're the team that blinks last. You know, they're the team that outlasts. They have the poise, and they stay with and play within themselves. This time, there's a couple of slips, a couple of small things happen, and the Broncos let them in. But let's keep in mind that there's five more games, and another one against the Chiefs, another one against the Raiders. And the Raiders squeaked by barely by the skin of their teeth with a win against Carolina. And so there's still a lot of football left to play. But right now, Luke, let me ask you, and then we'll call it an episode here. How are you feeling about the Broncos' prospects moving forward? I mean, there's still a lot of football left to be played, but how are you feeling about things from here to the end of the season down the stretch?
Yeah, well, I watched kind of some of that fourth quarter of the Raiders-Panthers game. I admittedly missed the extended portion where the Panthers came back. But, you know, you see Derek Carr get injured just with just obviously brutally painful broken pinky. Oh, yeah. It's just nasty to see something just bent the wrong way. You know, he goes out, gets medical treatment, comes back in with a glove, drops a couple dimes, marches down and wins the game. You know, this is a gritty kid. We're going to be talking about him for years, in my opinion. So now the Broncos, they kind of come back this week. They travel to face the Jaguars, and then the Titans host the Patriots, travel to face the Chiefs. So these next four games, you know, they're not easy by any stretch of the imagination, especially with the way, the next three opponents, you know, Jaguars, Titans, Patriots, Titans, Patriots, Chiefs, you know, with the way they're all playing, and then they host the Raiders, you know, this is a challenging five-game stretch to close the season out. So I certainly wouldn't say that a tie tonight bolsters their chances by any means. It's just too early to say that. But this is a team that, you know, this is still a veteran team. There's still a lot of older, more mature minds on this team, and they can really see this loss as not a setback, but this is kind of a check, kind of a gut check moment.
Absolutely. And the Broncos, you know, there's a lot of good to take away from this game. Offensively, they did improve in a lot of ways. There's still some concerns there on the offensive line. And I got to, you know, one thing that I kept thinking to myself, you know, watching that game that the television broadcast actually vocalized was just, you know, if you're Trevor Siemian, you're thinking, what else do I got to do to win this game? But the flip side to that is that's what the defense has been thinking week in and week out throughout the entire season. And it just so happened in this one game, you know, they were on the outside and lost at the end. But we got a lot of season left to go. It's going to be tough. This is going to be a very interesting stretch run for the conference. And you got a lot of players like the Dolphins. Looking at this, you're going to have, of course, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, one of those two, playing a role in a wild card. And but, you know, hey, the AFC West is still not decided, and we'll see what happens. But anything else you want to get off the chest, any kind of takeaways? And we'll come back tomorrow with a little bit more collected. But, Luke, anything else on your mind tonight?
Yep, just the one thing that kind of jumps out to me was that Jordan Norwood muff punt leading to the safety and then the ensuing touchdown. And just as I kind of look through the press conference right now as it goes on live after the game, Von Miller just stated, we did everything we possibly could to lose this game, and guess what? We lost, which I think is a pretty accurate summation of kind of how this one won. This was a hard-fought game. This was an amazing game, in my opinion. Instant classic between two extremely talented teams. You know, this was a pleasure to watch for me.
You know, it's interesting you bringing up real quick that Norwood play. I don't know if you caught this on the broadcast, but as he's walking off the field, the defense is coming on the field. Norwood's kind of walking off the field, you know, kind of downcast, and someone pushed him from behind. One of his own teammates, and I'm like, I backed it up. I'm like, who was that? I'm pretty sure it was Aqib Talib. I'm pretty sure it was 21, and I thought he came back, played a strong game, you know, showed some fresh legs, saved a touchdown on one play, and, you know, kept up on that one long route to start the game with Hill. I was like, wow, he's playing with some fresh legs. He's looking good. So, you know, tough play for Norwood. You know, you win some, you lose some. But that was just one of those situations where, as Miller said, you know, they found a way to lose this game. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes sometime in the NFL. Let's just hope the team can win from it, or excuse me, learn from it.
Yep, I agree.
But that'll do it for tonight. Luke and I will be back on Tuesday to go a little bit more in depth on Broncos Chiefs. Stay tuned for that. You can find Luke on Twitter at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. We're always down to talk Broncos. We love engaging with you, our listeners. The show's Twitter handle is at Locked On Broncos, and it's kind of a long story, but over the weekend we had to relaunch the account from scratch. So please, everybody, go over and give at Locked On Broncos a follow. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, auto pay, HD 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming update, megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, rules and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited, carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere, restrictions apply.